Sunday News. Political rivalries threaten the Caribbean. Political diversions and inter-black rivalries are currently casting a question mark on the future of the CARICOM, the Caribbean Economic Community. The political and economic grouping of the West Indies. To many outsiders, the former British colonies in the West Indies are a happy, homogeneous grouping exemplified by the tourist posters with their trees, sandy beaches, and steel bands. And there have always been a rivalry between the large islands, particularly Jamaica and Trinidad, while the similar islands are often in dominance of these islands. Now Jamaica and Guyana have governments which are leaning increasingly towards socialist doctrines, while oil-rich Trinidad is wooing the smaller islands down a more capitalistic path. In addition, many neighboring Venezuela and South America and South American rather than CARICOM. In recent weeks, officials from Trinidad and Barbados have held high-level talks with a view to drawing up new bilateral mutual agreements on oil, fishery, and agriculture, and tourism. Though both sides are at pains to defy this, such agreements would further undermine more general CARICOM projects. Trinidad, which produces some of its oil, but more importantly refines much of Venezuela's, has also been advancing aid from loans to some of the neighboring Windward Islands and St. Louis and St. Vincent, for example. At present, these islands and Antigua and possibly Dominica, among the Leeward Islands, claim a chain further to the north, appear to be siding with Trinidad, though some Caribbean leaders are on the fence, sitting literally on the fence, until the outcome of the power struggle becomes clear. I mean the struggle for socialism or capitalism in the area. Meanwhile, Trinidadians, those from Trinidad where you landed just before you came to Guyana, businessmen are becoming successfully, increasingly vociferous, that means outspoken, in calling for Trinidad to align itself closely and strongly with Venezuela, a fishing agreement concluded between the two neighbors several months ago and has opened up one area to cooperation. This is suspected to be retaliation because the Soviets have opened their fishery alliance to the Soviet Union, East German Democratic People's Republic of the Warsaw Treaty, and the Chinese. Businessmen's feelings were summed up recently by opposition leader Basadio Pandey, head of the United Labor Force. The prohibition of large and expanded market has had a serious restraint on the economic expansion of Trinidad and Tobago. And he told a special party Congress recently, "We must now seriously consider the feasibility of turning to South America as an answer for our products as we are being driven out of Africa and other areas that we have exploited." One of the problems facing most of the islands is growing realization that tourism may not be the best avenue of development. And the dramatic growth in tourism in recent years has brought headaches along with much-needed revenue. A Pan-Caribbean conference on tourism held in Puerto Rico in May urged the Caribbean islands to set a ceiling on the influx of tourists. A study on the social impact of tourism in Grenada, Barbados, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and the Cayman Islands, among other spots, showed that the excessive influx would overpower the host population and destroy the community. I hope they never destroy that beautiful island of Grenada. I'm glad that they are one that stood out. You have never seen that paradise. When we get our boat sometime, we'll just go down and let you see it for yourself as time goes on. Barbados has become a leading target for North American and European jet setters. Yet the price exacted may be seen in the proliferating beachfront luxury hotels, fast food chains, discos, and other paraphernalia, which are apparent prerequisites for many tourists. None of these islands, Barbados, or any of them compared to Grenada, has very few people on it, and the beaches are as clean and as long as the eye can see. Trade missions from Barbados have been touring Trinidad, Venezuela, and Martinique and Guadeloupe in the last couple of months in an attempt to diversify the land's income. Now there are signs that the U.S. is beginning to take more interest in the development of the Caribbean. I can't read my own notes. That's my problem, but I'm giving you the essence of it. The State Department has been alarmed in Marxist tendencies and growing Cuban influence in the form of technical advisors, engineering, and so on, in Jamaica and Guyana. And CIA destabilization techniques were alleged during the 1976 Jamaican elections, which re-elected Michael Manley. However, the Guyanese government has been more sensible in that it has one strong party and maintains that mass party, even if it does use questionable means of a referendum. However, Washington is trying to normalize ties with Jamaica and Guyana, which would double its aid to the Caribbean in the next few years, and is currently trying to remove some of the suspicions caused by the past U.S. policies in the area. But it will take a long time to heal the wounds, particularly in Guyana, where 13 of their interior doctors were blown up by the CIA in a Cubana airline I was meant to be on just about 2 years ago. I think it was 2 years ago or 3 years ago, 2 years ago this time in the fall. Reliable Egyptian sources indicated today that Egypt condemns the recent raids by Rhodesian forces in Zambia and Mozambique. The same sources said that Egypt calls on the international community to double its efforts to bring the racist regimes to respect the rights of Africans. They said Egypt also calls on national intervention to support the Zimbabwean Liberation Front. This brought a red face to Washington, who thought they had Egypt comfortably in their pocket. A new multiracial party, headed by a former colleague of Prime Minister Ian Smith and opposing his transitional government, has been formed in Rhodesia. This is according to the Sunday paper published in Salisbury. The newspaper said the party, the National Alliance, is led by Dr. Colin Barlow, permanent member of Mr. Smith's Rhodesian Front Party. It also included the Zimbabwean People's Party and the United People's Association. What difference he will make is unknown at this time, but it is a representative white opposition to the terrorist policies of the regime of Ian Smith that has been upheld with the ban lifted on economic aid, military aid from the U.S. Congress. The president of Tanzania, Julius Nyerere, said in a television interview that Zambia's decision to reopen its borders with Rhodesia was difficult to understand and was causing problems in relations between the two countries. The interview, broadcast over Norwegian television, was recorded in the capital of the Tanzanian tour 4 days ago. President Nyerere, who's one of the dearest friends of our own beloved Prime Minister Forrest Burnham, said that there were many elements in this present situation in southern Africa which he did not understand, and one of them was Zambia's decision to open its borders with Rhodesia. He said the Chinese-built railway link between Zambia and Tanzania was built for the purpose of preventing Zambia from being blackmailed by the Rhodesian Prime Minister Ian Smith, and the purposes of its aid from the Soviet Union, as they're non-aligned, as this country here also must be non-aligned, is that the millions of dollars of military equipment given to us by the Soviet Union was not given to allow one member state to allow aggression of Ian Smith to cross their borders and bomb innocent citizens, men, women, and children, the old, the young. West Germany's main federation of Protestant churches will remain in the World Council of Churches, although it opposes council aid to certain African liberation movements. The World Council of Churches wrote us a very nice letter in their one in the World Call, and we should, Dr. Tropp, get on with responding to them in a very, very warm way, because they're having trouble with some of their own member nations, because they chose to follow their conscience and give a few thousand dollars of aid to the SWAPU and Zimbabwe Patriotic Front. But anyway, it remains the World Council of Churches for the time, although it opposes Council's aid to certain African liberation movements. An official communique said today in Hanover, West Germany, the Council of the Evangelistic Church, whose members include most of West Germany's 26 million Protestants, and issued a communique after a two-day meeting called to discuss membership of the World Organization. The President of Nigeria will arrive in Khartoum tomorrow for a three-day visit, official visit too. Official talks between the Sudanese President and the Nigerian leaders will start tomorrow evening and will be followed by a banquet. It's felt there will be much discussion on how to stop the aggression in Somalia against the Ethiopians, which are allies of the Soviet Union. People's Free Cuba, the only communist territory in the Caribbean, has a large military and medical assistance program underway in Africa. Black nationalist guerrilla leader Joshua Nkoma told Newsmen that the Rhodesians' claim of killing only 3,500 guerrillas in Zambia is false. Rhodesians' forces did kill more than 100 armed girls, he said. The girls were in the camps in Zambia to be trained as drivers. Police officers and social workers stated this to be a fact. Zambian troops are fighting against Rhodesian troops since the attacks, which was launched 2 days ago in a row by the Rhodesian White Army. Joshua Nkoma, as you know, is the nationalist leader, and his ally, Robert Mugabe, Marxist-Leninist leader, joined together in making the Zimbabwean Patriotic Front that represent 97% of the territory of what the white man calls Ian Smith regime, or Rhodesia, and all people who have been emancipated referred to as Zimbabwe. Somalia's President Mohamed Anbari pardoned almost 300,000 prisoners in honor of the 9th anniversary of his military rule. This is a great move to try to show that they are liberalizing, because many people are attacking China for being behind them with their attitudes and treatment of people on the domestic scene. A Somalian Republic official said the pardon would involve persons arrested on a number of charges, but the announcement did not say it would affect almost 10 Somalian soldiers arrested just last week on charges of trying to overthrow the president. Continuing with the news. It's always a great deal in the news that can stimulate our minds, and we should keep our minds stimulated at all times. You can never have enough knowledge. It's impossible. Never can there be enough knowledge for us to retain in our minds There's always much more that we should know. Military, SCLC investigation. Atlanta-based Southern Christian Leadership Conference, headed by Ralph Abernathy. Reverend Ralph Abernathy, by the way, is coming to visit us very shortly. SCLC, he was the closest friend of Dr. King while he was alive, has announced that it will launch an investigation of racism in the military and the woven fabric of the United States government by holding hearings at several military bases. They may do it, but if it gets too hot, Carter will just step forward with martial law, like happened in the Philippines, martial law, and all these nations, and they want to go to a dictatorial position. We are increasingly alarmed at the number of complaints that we have been receiving from black servicemen, said President Joseph Lowery of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and are highly critical of the disproportionate numbers of dishonorable discharges they have been receiving. In the past 3 years, the organization has received 2,500 complaints of military racism. It plans to begin its hearings at Fort Stewart Hunter near Savannah, Georgia, where it has received these 2,500 complaints, but it is not known whether there'll be any federal inquiry. Of course not. Who cares about how many of our black people die? Interesting happening in U.S. scene. ATM and IWK are uniting. Two dogmatic Marxist-Leninist organization and the August 29th movement. I War Quen, Q-U-E-N, IWK, which was formerly pro-Chinese, and the other one was pro-Moscow, have merged to form the League of a Revolutionary Struggle, ML. The move is largely seen as an intermediary step in the organization's uniting with the Communist Party, ML. Since May, ATM and IWK have joined with the CPML in a committee to unite in Marxist-Leninists because they feel that unless we drop our differences, we're doomed for a worse dictatorship than Adolf Hitler's Germany. In a committee to unite all Marxist-Leninists, the League states that it will continue to work in the committee as an effort to forge a simple, unified party and not just have intellectual snobs in talking socialist rhetoric. Furthermore, in an article in the first issue of the League's monthly newspaper, according to the Washington Post, Unity, the party building, new name, Unity, is put forward as the League's main task. They've had much harassment of late in Internal Revenue, are questioning their status, and they're harassed by many agencies in New York, but they go on, apparently, at this point, undaunted. ATM based mainly in the Chicago community, but with a strong group in New York, and IWK, based mainly in the Asian community, have been carrying out joint discussions for over a year and a half. The League, as did AIM, ATM, and IWK, bases its international outlook on the Three Worlds Theory as formulated by the current regime in China, though they interpret it different. The Communist Party they will be uniting with will be the Soviets, but they do believe there is something in the doctrine of three worlds that can be seen that would be beneficial. Racial harassment. Student sues for hoax. Charlottesville, Virginia suit has dismissed yesterday, which Kendricks Easley attempted to sue Edward Wilcox for a racist prank. Easley charged that the joke drastically altered the course of his life. The hoax committed in February 77. That's how long it took to come to trial at the University of Virginia, where the two were students, involved fellow students who came to Esley's dormitory window as he was studying at night and yelled, "Psycho, psycho." In the aftermath of the incident, Wilco was admitted to forging, has admitted to forging a psychiatrist report on Esley, E-S-L-E-Y, which stated that Esley suffered from a hyperactivity, just a hyperactivity, an energy that kept him going at a fast pace, and showed perspiration around the hairline, an irregular eye movement, according to a courtroom testimony. The document was full of racial slurs, saying that all blacks suffer from hypersensitivity, what they called with another term, I can't remember, an animalistic type of emotion that could be provoked and enraged without any reason at all. Anyway, the court in Charlottesville upheld the young black man who had been harassed for days. Philadelphia Police Department, in the wake of its dramatic, brutal movement, a Back to the Nature group move, continues on to rampage against members of the black community, as is being done in 81 other cities across the nation. In one instance, 26-year-old Bruce Graham was beaten up by a top cop who pounded him with the high-sided nightstick held in hand while attempting to drive in the police station with the other. According to Graham, G-R-A-H-A-M, at one point the cop almost had an accident. Graham was under arrest, except he resisted, and of course they're charging him now for resistance of arrest last week. For drunkenness, he was charged. After a family disturbance, which prompted the mother to call the police, the cops came in the house several times to get him, but each time Graham studied arrest. Imagine a mother, a black family, calling the police on any of their black relatives. Graham eluded arrest. When he was finally caught, one policeman said, "Graham, we ought to kick your ass and stomp on your balls. We ought for having to come out here all the time, all those times." Graham said the Black Weekly, Philadelphia Tribune, said that he was called racist names and beaten, and only on the way to the station, behind the station, and in his cell as well. I can't read my notes hardly today. They're not very clear. Shortly afterwards, he was released with no charges against him. He was later admitted to a hospital where he underwent abdominal surgery and stayed for a week. The brutally beat victim says that he will press charges against the police department because he will be unable to use one arm for the rest of his life. Another case, charges against two black construction workers were dismissed last week following an earlier September incident in which several white Philadelphian cops attacked the two outside a police station without any reason. The men were laying new cement and asked the cops not to walk on the fresh pavement, but they were beat so severely that one of these lost their eye, but there was no review given whatsoever. 13.5 years ago, Viola Luizzo, a white civil rights worker, was viciously attacked to the death by Martin Luther King when she was working for Martin Luther King, and she was beaten to death by the Ku Klux Klan. Two people spent 6 years each in jail for murder. Last week, a number of FBI was indicted for that murder. What will happen is another thing. Gary Thomas Brown, formerly an undercover FBI agent, was charged Landis County, Alabama, grand jury. You can imagine if they'll go so far as to arrest some FBIs, doesn't pay to be a part of that filthy, finky capitalist system. And indeed, if they were involved with the murder of this dear Italian lady, Viola Liuzzo, who was just in her late 20s or 30s, early 30s, you know what they did with Dr. Martin Luther King. As, anyway, last week a member of the FBI was indicted for that murder. Gary Thomas Rao, formerly an undercover FBI agent, was charged in the Lowndes County, Alabama grand jury. I want you to hear it again so you can get it. Alabama has one of the best attorney generals. He's only going to be one time, but he does go after these people. He has been threatened some 37 times. His life has been threatened by people because he will come down on racism. It had to do with something, as I remember reading the book, on him having a black mammy in his home that was like his second mother, and he has a deep feeling for black people. The indictment comes after a series of revelations in recent months showing that Rao not only spied on the Klan for the FBI, but actively irritated and participated in the Ku Klux Klan and other activities. These revelations have confirmed long-standing accusations by participation in the civil rights movement, and that the federal government and racist terrorists such as the KKK members worked hand in hand with the federal government to threat anti-racist activities. Yesterday, an indictment paved the way for a new trial in the case. Don't get your hopes too high, though. Most of these cases are lost or thrown out of court. At the first trial, in which the blacks took part, Rao testified against the three Klansmen, who he said committed the murder. He accused Colin Leroy Wilkins of pulling the trigger, Eugene Thomas and William Orville Eaton of being with Watkins. Luzo was killed as she was driving from Selma, where she had taken some people who planned a march for the voter registration to Montgomery. The Klansmen chased her car down, and fired from their own car as they passed her. I shall never forget that because I was in that struggle myself. It was there that I got in one village trying to get a store and getting some blacks to come north and sign some petitions that they practically did me, and the police put an alert out for me, and I didn't get out any too soon. In July, Thomas and Wilkins charged on a nationally televised interview that Rao actually pulled the trigger and that they had been afraid to name him as the killer because they had been told that it would mean heavier sentences for themselves. In fact, no one was convicted on murder charges as a result of the incident. Wilkins, Thomas, and Eaton were charged and convicted of conspiracy only. Eaton died before he could serve his time. It sounds to me like the Attorney General of the state has already been removed or he's sold out. He was one of the best of white people you can make any evaluation of concern for black people's problems. By student newspaper, Eaton, and before he could serve his term, it is rumored that the state police that were holding Eaton were guilty of his brutal killing and early death because he had too much to say about the systematic killings of black activists and others in that troubled state. This is typical across America. They first attack you by the press. If they cannot succeed there, they attack you in the news, by government agencies. And we've had all those. Probably not through with them yet, because they're always there, available to try to destroy you. And then, if they cannot get you there, they try assassination. We've already had all tried on us, because every agency in the United States has tried to do something to our people. and without success thus far. We should be a thankful people that we've arrived, free as we have, to enjoy this beautiful air and sunshine, clean foods with no chemicals in them. And as we move forward, we'll be able to increase our budget. If everybody will work harder, we'll be able to increase our budget. What we've got to have is workers, and we need the people to volunteer time to Kay, because everything that can be made to by Kay Nelson in the way of dolls is that much more that we can sell, Patty can sell, and Ravina even at a higher price up the river, because she wanted just a sure thing. Kay wanted a sure thing of getting these 33,000. But we could cut out the middleman and sell a lot of them up the river. So please show interest, and I do love you very much. Beautify your surrounding areas. I love you. You'll be able to study the news under the library in the morning, and at noon it'll be piped out all over the area for you to hear it. In the evening, it'll be under the pavilion, so you can be there capturing the news. We have a Rex Red Ferreira, who's in charge of all sports activities for Guyana, who'll be here, so the basketball team should be in tip-top shape. The basketball team should do their very best to be in good shape. That will be the schedule. Then, after you've gone your full Russian classes and the news and then the Russian, switching in Spanish and Portuguese at time, then we will bring them in.